Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now then, let's check in with our man out in Japan. Owen Sheehan, hello.
Hello, Joe. How are things?
Oh, what a view. The people listening on radio are missing out. Where are you?
I'm in my hotel in Hamamatsu. Believe it or not, this is where I'm staying. This is the tallest building in Hamamatsu, which is the city where I'm staying. It's a city of about 800,000 people. It is the biggest city in Shizuoka Prefecture, which is the prefecture where Ireland have moved down to. It's on the south coast of Japan. So you've got nice views of the Pacific on a very clear, bright day here. Obviously, it's nighttime here for anybody listening on the radio, so we can't quite see the sea in the very far distance. But yeah, it's not bad, is it?
No. You got the penthouse.
Not quite the penthouse. I'm on the 35th floor. It goes up to 45. And even residents here have to pay to get the view on the 45th. So I'm stuck with this bad old view for floor number 35, unfortunately.
Doing very nicely. I presume, like the team, you got the bullet train down, did you?
Yes, indeed. The Shinkansen, as the locals call it here, from Shin Yokohama Station yesterday, right after their press conference. And it is really like a bullet. Like, I don't want to inflate, you know, deflate the hype too much about the bullet trains here, Joe. But there is kind of a stretch on the Killarney to Dublin train with Irish Rail. I think it's post Selbridge that goes extremely quickly. And I was like, well, if that's the quickest Irish Rail can go, this must be amazing. To be honest with you, it felt about the same. So maybe once you get to a certain speed, it all just becomes much and it's kind of like low temperatures, I think they say. But no, it's very impressive. Obviously, the how punctual they are is something that sticks out as well. Because they go so quickly, they are to the second in terms of when they arrive, when they leave the station. And a very short trip down to the south coast here. So there'll be two more of them to come following the Ireland team to Kobe next Sunday morning and then on to Fukuoka, which is on the very west of Japan. So following the Ireland team, you actually get a good sense of the country as a whole here in Japan.
So I was reading that the Irish team are now staying in a very authentic, very nice, very secluded hotel. Were you out there? Are media allowed anywhere out there? Where does the media stuff happen?
No, so it's not at the hotel this time. There's actually media facilities at their training ground, which is in a town called Iwata. So we got a taxi out there today. It took about 30 minutes and we traveled east to get there. And then you'd have to travel another 30 minutes east to get to Fukuroi, which is where the game is actually going to take place this Saturday. So basically the train took us past Mount Fuji. You actually couldn't see Mount Fuji yesterday because of so much fog. But the mountainous area brings an extra layer of humidity. It hits you immediately after you stop off the train. I thought personally I just got used to the humidity because I wasn't feeling it for the Ireland-Scotland game after 10 days here. But actually, no, I'm not used to it at all. The humidity down here is a lot worse than it was up in the capital or in Yokohama. So they've dealt with that down here. We haven't actually seen their facility, but apparently you've obviously seen photos of it. It's a state-of-the-art facility and they're not training there, though. Obviously, they're training in the U-Maria ground, it's called. And it seems like one of the only state-of-the-art facilities, really, around this part of the country, because some of it around here, I will say, is quite run down. There's like the drive out is kind of weird. It feels almost like being in the deep south or maybe the Midwest of the United States, where perhaps the economy hasn't been going so well over recent decades. But yet you have things like Maserati dealerships just popping up as well here and there. So it's an unusual part of the country, Joe, taking this trip out to the training ground today.
So I've been reading the dispatches, and actually when there's such a time gap, I know it's only 8 hours, but it's very hard to know who's been speaking when or what was said when. So are they doing daily stuff with the media? Is it a bit, you know, more relaxed than it might be in Carlton House usually? Or is it just every second day? Or how's it all working out there?
I think World Rugby stipulations mean that you can only take one day off per week when it comes to the media. So Ireland had actually scheduled 2 days off next week, I think. But I think that's changed to one day off. I could stand corrected on that, but that's the word doing the rounds now. This week, anyway, there was only scheduled to be one day off. And last week, there was only one day off. So you can imagine with this, we're seemingly hundreds and hundreds of days of build-up now to South Africa. You can imagine that these press conferences with only one day off every week might get a tad repetitive. But thankfully, we have things like the Japanese press conference to fall back on weeks like this.
Okay, so did I see Dave Kilcoyne and Chris Farrell were out today?
Dave Kilcoyne and Chris Farrell were up today. Interesting enough stuff from Farrell. Farrell talking about how to move to France, kind of kick-started his career again. Joe Schmidt persuading him to come home to Ireland and kind of feeling that he had missed his chance, really, to play for the Ireland senior team, but obviously that chance is not missed whatsoever, especially given his performance at the weekend. And then Dave Kilcoyne, the line of questioning really around Kilcoyne at the moment focuses quite heavily on Cian Healy, because Cian Healy had said earlier in the week that he's not quite sure how long he can hold off Kilcoyne when it comes to nailing down that loose head position. So he's interesting on him. He obviously points out that Healy himself has been in a fantastic nick over the past 12 months or so. So it's a competitive position. Carroll's obviously in a competitive position as well. And then we also had Richie Murphy up for press today. He said that Johnny Sexton didn't fully train today, so he's being monitored. He was going through rehab today, which was interesting. That they said earlier in the week, and to be honest with you, it was reiterated today, that Johnny Sexton was taken off for tactical reasons on Sunday. It was nothing to do with the pain in his thigh. But he said that the reason why he wasn't kicking was it was that part of the leg. It's in your thigh, your upper leg, where that you use. That's the most powerful part when it comes to kicking. And that's why Sexton played but didn't actually kick for a period on Sunday.
In the papers over here, certainly Sexton has effectively been ruled out, it seems, for the weekend. I don't know, did Murphy say anything to that extent?
Not to that extent, but we all know how Joe Schmidt operates when it comes to playing players who haven't had a full week's of action.
Yeah.
And we might actually be in a situation like looking at the Samoa result earlier on, where you're looking at Samoa and potentially, like, I don't want to get ahead of myself too much here, potentially Japan at similar levels here, that you might actually have three games where you're playing 50% teams or 66% teams or whatever it may be, like 10 of your starters and five of your rotated cast or whatever it may be, or over these next 3 weeks. So I think Sexton, I'd be very, very surprised if he does play at the weekend. I would say that Carty and Carty would be the two tens in the squad.
I was reading Richie Murphy was saying as well that Bundiaki and Peter Romani have passed their HIA 3. They obviously failed HIA 1, passed HIA 2. They've passed HIA 3 now as well. So that means they're fit to return to training. I don't know if that means they're likely to feature at the weekend. Maybe it does. I'm no expert on their health this week, obviously, but they have passed HIA 3 anyway. So they're back training?
Yeah, back training, back available. They're good to go for the weekend, actually, Joe. So because the injury happened in the first half, you might actually think that they might want to get a few more minutes into their legs. So it's interesting that they're fit, they're available. HIA 1 obviously takes place when the incident happens. They passed HIA 2 yesterday, or 2 days ago, sorry, and then HIA 3 was passed yesterday. So as far as Ireland are concerned, in terms of what they've told us, they're fully back in with the squad, so they're fully available.
You mentioned the Japanese press conferences. They don't like Cian Healy scrummaging.
Well, this is from Yusuke Kizu, who is the Japan tight head prop. Now, it's very important to state that Yusuke Kizu does not have fluent English, and he didn't speak in any English today. So everything that is said is said through an interpreter. And I think, Joe, this is important to mention, because sometimes we get lost in translation with other things, but with the specifics of a scrum, I would say that things get very much lost. And I know that's not how journalists are supposed to speak. We're supposed to latch onto every good quote that comes our way. Just in case anybody missed it, he said, according to the interpreter, their loose head prop steps out, so they try to attack from the side. That's my impression of their scrum. Ireland's forwards really attack close to the ruck, so we need to have double collisions to stop their momentum, and we need to execute our system for us to achieve that. So they attack us from the side is the line that the interpreter said. Like, Kesey was asked about Tadhg Furlong, and he gave a standard answer saying, I'm just focusing on me. I asked him who his favourite player was. He said Rory Best. He actually fronted up and answered that question. There wasn't really a tone of antagonising Ireland, or there wasn't a tone from their scrum coach who spoke earlier in the day. So I reckon, Joe, if this was actually a planned media assault on Ireland and their scrummaging, the scrum coach might have actually stepped up and said that exact thing, but he didn't. So I do wonder about these quotes and the actual meaning behind them, because who knows how much of an expert the interpreter is. But they're on tomorrow morning, and perhaps I can actually ask the interpreter how much he does know his scrum.
Yeah, fair point. Did you ask who his favourite player was in world rugby, or who his favourite Irish player was? I mean, either way, it's surprising it's Rory Best.
In Irish rugby.
Okay.
It's a very soft question, I'll accept, Joe, but I'd asked something less soft to the previous person. He didn't quite know what I was saying. He looked at me like two heads, and all the Japanese journalists started laughing. So I felt like I was getting picked on in school or something like that.
Your tough guy image has been shredded. I mean, you peaked with the South African press conference, and now you're asking who his favourite player is. What the hell's going on?
I'm made of candy floss, Joe.
Our rugby coverage is thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. We're talking to Owen Sheehan, who's overlooking the beautiful scene behind him. So anything else of note going on out there? Are you enjoying your time? Is it fun? Is it a million miles an hour?
It certainly was in Tokyo. I was based in Tokyo and travelling out to Chiba and traveling out to Yokohama. That was tough every day, tough in a very, very good way. You get to see so much, got to see a lot of the city every day making that trek. Obviously got to speak to some amazing people, some amazing fans, obviously, after the game last week. But then all of a sudden, it's like turning off a light switch. That's what it's been like coming down to Hamamatsu. A very, very, very different tone. Haven't seen a single Ireland jersey down here. Haven't seen many rugby fans at all. I would say most of the Ireland fans will actually do a day trip to Shizuoka this weekend, because with the bullet train, it is possible to do that in one day. They'll say somewhere a little bit more exciting. Not that this place is bad. It's a nice town, but that's what it is. It's a nice town. Mm. You look at the footpaths down below, and you don't see anybody walking. In Tokyo, you struggle to get any place in the footpath when you're walking down the street. So just in the space of one bullet train ride, you're completely out of the energy of Japan. So it's a complete pace change, but that's a pace change for the players as well. Mm. Yokohama, that was energetic. That is a really, really nice part of the country. And this has been dialed down a lot. So finding things to do would be the challenge for the players this week. That being said, Mount Fuji, as I've already mentioned, is just up the road on a clear day. It's kind of a must-do when it comes to sightseeing. With no media tomorrow, I might do it myself, but I'm sure the players have something like that in mind as well.
Mm. So Tokyo is what, thronged with people? Population density right up there?
I couldn't get over it, Joe. It's like, I knew it was big, but kind of gauged everything kind of by New York standards. It's like, if I've managed to manage that, then you can manage it in Tokyo. But Tokyo is a different standard again. Like, even being, say, one stop away on a subway, it's not walking distance whatsoever. Shinjuku Station, which is the busiest station in the world, is like nothing I've ever seen. It's a maze. It's impossible to find your way around without a decent knowledge of the place. And really, like, the Rugby World Cup didn't really make an impression on the city centre of Tokyo. But that has nothing to do with the Rugby World Cup, but it's to do with the fact that Tokyo is just so incredibly busy with its 37, 38 million people population. And yeah, it was an eye-opener. It was very bright, very populous. And to be honest with you, I cannot wait to go back when Ireland are in quarter-final action, because I've done my training for Tokyo. I think you almost need to be trained up a little bit. You could live there for 10 years. That's still not know your way around.
Really? Wow. So did you say 37, 38 million people are in Tokyo?
That's what, yeah. Gunning, the sumo wrestler I interviewed last week, yeah. That was his figure. The biggest city in the world, according to our own Adrian Barry, actually, when I think Wikipedia, to be honest.
Wow. We're not in Kerry anymore.
Well, to be honest, like, when you talk about training, I mean, my real training for Tokyo was done in the tough streets of Tralee when I was a teenager, so... Braced and ready to rock is how I came here.
Good man. Listen, and then just to sign off, we all saw your video with all the Irish fans. They look to be having a great time. You seem to be having a good time too. So around match day, it's good fun. There's a good Irish contingent out there.
Ah, it was unbelievable, Joe. I really couldn't get over it, because I'd done the exact same route the previous night after the All Blacks South Africa game. And really, you think to yourself, this is as good as rugby gets. And it was an amazing atmosphere on Saturday night. Don't get me wrong. But I'd been through the pubs in Yokohama, walked through the exact same train station. But then Sunday, it's just dialed up to another level entirely. And it's not even Scottish fans. It was basically a load of Irish people on their own, a few Scottish fans here and there. It was the best atmosphere of the tournament so far, I think, on Sunday in Yokohama. It's fantastic. Irish people traveling from all parts of Asia, from Ireland as well. Obviously, a lot of people have made the long trip over. But really, they are a credit to the team. When say Rory Best is making his post-match interview and saying the Ireland fans have followed us everywhere, they're not empty words. It does make a bit of an impact, I'd imagine, when you hear that roar after the anthems and stuff before the game. But they had a fantastic time. You heard it on the radio yourself, Joe. And that gentleman who said, I love Joe Malloy and I love Golf Weekly. He doesn't love you that much, Joe, because I asked him afterwards who was his favourite off the ball presenter. Oof. And he said, oof. Peter Lawrie.
Peter Lawrie?
I don't know. That was my reaction too. But maybe he thought I meant pundit.
Did you explain to him what a presenter was?
I didn't. I let everybody say what they want to say, Joe, and then right. Let's privately keep our questions to ourselves.
They weren't shy when they saw the off-the-ball microphone. That's what I picked up on proceedings.
Quite the opposite of that. I'm not sure the colour red or it's, they seem to love the, a few people anyway, seem to love the brand. There was a couple of people who avoided me, but at that stage of the night when they're going through the train station, I think everything looks good.
Good man. Listen, thanks so much for staying up late for us. Take it easy. We'll check in again next few days. Cheers.
Not at all. Chat to you soon. Rugby on
Off the Ball. With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.